In composer David Del Tredici's press photo, he's wearing a t-shirt emblazoned with the words, "Tonality Lives." Del Tredici composes lush, large-scale, lyrical orchestral music. He began writing tonal music in the modern age of dissonance when he started working with the texts from Alice in Wonderland by Lewis Carroll. His 1976 piece, Final Alice, is considered a breakthrough work in what's been called the return to tonality. Del Tredici won the Pulitzer Prize for Music in 1980 for his piece In Memory of a Summer Day, based on the preface to Through the Looking Glass.
The air composers breathed was atonal. That was somehow, without anyone really saying it, the only way to go. And here I was suddenly writing long stretches in D major with very lush, romantic, Straussian, Mahler melodies. This just seemed madness in a certain kind of way. Yet at the same time, it came out of my basic instinctual response to music. I was excited. This is what there was. So I had to, in a sense, go with that. On the other hand, my appraising eye saw that it was very much against what was acceptable at that time.
Which was what?
A kind of atonal, dissonant world. That's what modern music was supposed to be. Contemporary music was dissonant, as far as anyone knew. And no one anticipated the fact that somehow going backwards, that is, towards tonality, would be going forwards.
And when we say tonality, why don't you describe what you mean?
Well, when I mean tonality, I mean, in my case, really very functional tonality, the language of Mahler, of Strauss, the romantic vocabulary of chords that everyone is familiar with.
Do you think you could describe some of the musical elements that really appeal to you from the past and contemporary musical ideas that appeal to you, too? Because I don't think it would be fair to say that your music is just rooted in music of the 19th century.
No. It's interesting. For me, as I think with many composers, what got me involved in tonality was a text. The ideas coming out of a text. In my case, it was Alice in Wonderland. And not just the book, but the idea behind the book, the way it was written. For example, Lewis Carroll improvised those stories for a real-life Alice, Alice Pleasance Liddell, whom he had great fondness for. And the idea of putting that sentiment, even those poems, into a piece like Final Alice caused me to look for a language that reflected love and a certain kind of enchantment. The stories themselves are full of whimsy and humor. These sentiments, too, I felt didn't lend themselves to atonality.
There was silence in the court whilst the white rabbit read out these verses.
Working on a series of pieces based on the text of Alice in Wonderland for years. You were doing pieces on that. I think you've done your last Alice piece, and you've entered into what I guess is a new period of your life as a composer.
Well, it's interesting. in this last year, a number of different organizations have kind of made theatrical versions of my pieces, which I've often been told are like operas. Even people say, why don't you write an opera? And the idea of other people seeing dramatic possibilities in my music is in a way pushing me in another direction, I feel. And I'm in putting my toe into the water of the collaboration which is required to write something like an opera. I've always been afraid of collaboration. I wanted the whole thing to be me, to be a very personal expression of myself. And I was kind of afraid of librettists and, you know, scenic designers and input. All of that kind of put me off. But anyway, this is sort of a new experience for me, and it's kind of exciting.
So are you working with the input yet?
Yeah, I'm accepting input and hanging on, hoping I don't dissolve in the process.
Now, you're also working on a commission for the New York Philharmonic, yes?
Right. In fact, that commission is a co-commission with the Royal Philharmonic of London. Yes, it is a non-Alice text, though it is a childhood poem, something called The Spider and the Fly by Mary Howitt.
Did the orchestras give you any specs when they commissioned the piece?
They just pray to God it won't be too long. Although in this case, Zubin Mehta and the Philharmonic have been most generous. And I said, can I have a chorus? Of course. Can I have two singers? Yes. Can it be any length? Of course. So they've been quite dreamy about it.
When you get a commission, do you have a day of elation followed by a prolonged period of panic?
Right, exactly. You sound like you've written a piece. That's it. One is thrilled with the idea of the commission. It's not so much panic sets in, but the long, arduous, quite lonely hours, days, almost years that it takes to make a piece happen. And I don't think people ever realize how much energy is involved in doing that and how, at least for myself, I can't do anything else. I always say, I can run my life, do all those things, or compose. When I'm composing, that's about all I can do.
I think one of the most difficult things for me to imagine is how a composer can sit at the piano and score for an entire orchestra and imagine an entire orchestra performing the piece.
Well, Terry, that is, you put your finger on a very fascinating, impossible, and challenging thing. Orchestrating is a very calculated risk. I mean, you're making a lot of guesses. I enjoy that. I mean, I could write for piano, an instrument I know completely, and know just how it'll sound, and that'll be that. But with the orchestra, there is a certain magical not knowing, which I feel brings out a kind of fantasy and daring I would not otherwise be prey to.
Now, you're working on a commission for the New York Philharmonic. Will the orchestra make itself available to you if you want to hear a sketch of a section that you're working on?
What a dream. Never, because the world of the orchestra is so expensive. You know, 20 minutes of orchestral time of a rehearsal would cost out of the blue. No, there is no time. It's not like a playwright writing a play and saying, I want to have a reading and gathering the actors together and sort of seeing how it flows and changing a word or a phrase or a speech to the here or there. That can't happen with an orchestral piece. I mean, I may take 2 years to write it, but the rehearsals will begin 3 days before the performance, and that's it. It'll suddenly be thrown into my face, all of these thoughts. It's really quite a frightening time, and I often get quite physically sick during that first rehearsal. And I tell people, chain me to a chair and gag me, and don't let me say a thing. Because I've learned that with a great orchestra, in 3 days, they can go from not knowing it to a superb performance. I mean, they're real professionals and they're geared to learn that quickly.
Have you ever gotten into a fight with a conductor about how a piece should be interpreted?
Always. That's why
you want to be gagged.
De rigueur. No, that's part of the game. In fact, when I conduct my own music, I'm sort of disappointed. I have nobody to fight with.
Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us. Are you going to head back to your piano now?
You make it sound like jail.
Well, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Terry, very much.
Composer David Deltredici spoke to us from the NPR studios in New York.